The Quinnipiac Chamber of Commerce is your source for business-to-business connection in Wallingford and North Haven. Since 1915, the Chamber has been serving your community with business promotion, networking opportunities, themed events, and a complete resource of business and organizational supports. Join the Chamber today. Call 203-269-9891 or go online at www.quincham.com. QUINNCHAM.com. The Quinnipiac Chamber of Commerce. And welcome to another edition of the Quinnipiac Chamber of Commerce podcast. I'm Ray Andrewson, Executive Director, and every other week we bring you a organization in our community, whether it's large-scale manufacturing or distribution, banking, investment, restaurant, retail, nonprofit organizations. We interview our members and we tell you a little bit more about what they do and their special work in greater detail. And very happy interview here for this particular podcast because we get to talk about animals with Soul Friends. Soul Friends, Inc. Is an organization that's been established helping children who have had some trauma or people who have had maybe emotional challenges, for example. We'll develop other aspects of this in just a moment, to be matched with animals and their healing power, their tremendous healing power as well. Joining us is Executive Director Kate Nicol, who's with us. Kate, always good to have you here to talk about Soul Friends. Thank you for joining us on the podcast.
Thanks very much, Ray. Happy to share about our mission.
And it's a great mission. So let's describe it. I've been on the website, heard you talk about it as well. It's a special organization. What is the mission of Soul Friends?
So Soul Friends is an organization that was founded in 2003 with a belief that animals have the ability to provide healing and comfort when sometimes traditional mental health services can't. So we provide innovative clinical educational programs, curriculums, but also we do individual family work at our office in Wallingford and then at several barn locations across the state.
Well, it's interesting then this mission that you connect people in the healing power of touch with animals. And I'll speak with full transparency that I'm an animal lover of all types, pretty much. I'm not so sure yet about rattlesnakes or jellyfish, but I think most animals I find can be healing to be in the presence of a pet or someone else's animals. So let's talk about the healing aspect. What is it about being near a horse? What is it about a dog? What is it about a cat? That provides this emotional sustenance for people who may be facing challenges?
Well, there are research efforts and studies that demonstrate that incorporating animals in clinical, medical, or educational settings, you know, decrease blood pressure, decrease like stress hormones like cortisol, also, you know, just provide comfort and understanding. But like even today, I have Emmett, my therapy dog, by my side here. We did a session earlier today with a child who had a history of a lot of trauma. And we incorporated Emmett's choice and activities that he wanted to do to participate in the session. Like, for instance, we did a dog command that demonstrates self-control, like leave it. So we talked about Emmett as a teacher to help kids with behavioral struggles by using a dog command. But then we also talked about Emmett's choice in sessions, like when he chose to lay down and settle and regulate himself. And the child said, Emmett is cooling his brain. And I said, that is perfect. That is exactly what animals do. So in the work that we do, we believe that animals can normalize trauma responses for children, families, first responders, and veterans, because we also created one of the first curriculum programs in the country to do parent-child equine-assisted therapy with, adults, veterans, first responders who kind of live with trauma every day, and they bring it home, and it affects, you know, parenting, it affects, you know, their day-to-day life. So the HORSE program there helps normalize their responses to stress, like, and also because the therapy is interactive, so, you know, Emmett's there and you can touch him or you can ask him to do a command. It's different than regular therapy, right? Because you get to pet him, you get to make choices, you're moving around. The other day, a kid walked Emmett around the parking lot, and we heard the birds sing, you know, and incorporated nature. And at the farm program in Meriden, in fact, there's goats, there's a new pig there named Julie Andrews, which is hysterical, ducks. And, you know, kids can notice things about animals, like when they yawn, that's a release of stress, or when dogs shake, that's settle, releasing tension. And it just kind of normalized their own responses to trauma, loss, or transition.
Well, for many people, I think, you have the image of Dorothy with Toto and singing over the rainbow. If you think about having a pet or an animal that is your companion at one point, we know the healing touch for seniors, that's a very important part of someone's life if they've been widowed or alone, if they're older, to have a pet, but also for children who can't really express themselves in an adult fashion. They don't understand their emotions very well. So let's talk about the trauma that a adolescent or a teenager may experience, and just being around a horse, a dog, Julie Andrews the pig, the touch, the fact that you can touch an animal, which you really can't do, obviously, with humans. There are boundaries, but you can touch an animal. You can scratch behind the ears or pet them. It really does. That touch really does have a healing impact.
It really, really does in a lot of ways, and particularly since COVID. You know, I think I heard today that 14% of teenagers during COVID thought of had thoughts about suicide. And so, you know, we do have a mental health crisis following COVID. And particularly, you know, you also have to think about kids who were at home during COVID, and maybe they had trauma in the home, like domestic violence or things like that. So kids, adolescents, families have carried a lot of like somatic in their body experiences of loss, mental health struggles, trauma, grief. And when you're able to get comfort from an animal, the other day one child said, you know, I think Emmett's the only, and he called him a person, but he said, I think Emmett's the only person that likes me, who really likes me. And so, so not only with the touch of incorporating animals in clinical work, but just also, you know, sharing the animal stories, their struggles, things they're good at. Like Emmett failed his therapy dog test twice. And I, you know, have a 20-year history of working in the human-animal bond. And, you know, I talk with kids, well, maybe I should have known that it wasn't a good day for him. And then kids are able to say, well, you can't be perfect, Kate, you know, and Emmett needed to do this, this, this. And through working with Emmett, kids were able to see him be successful, pass the test, and feel a part of it, you know, boost up their self-esteem, feel good and feel liked and loved by, you know, like in traditional therapy, you know, you might have someone say, I like you as a therapist, but to be able to say, you know, to the sweetie, the horse, I love you, and whisper all your worries and traumas into the horse's ear, you know, it just creates a whole different level of healing.
Also, there's the aspect of not only engagement, but the sense of caring, just feeding an animal, bringing water, bringing oats, bringing, you know, kibble. It's very healing to take care of another person in some respects, but it's very healing for a child or for someone who's experienced trauma to serve. And I think that's another aspect that you find in your work with Soul Friends is very important.
Yeah, one thing about that you brought up a really critical point, and I call that nurturance, you know, in the sense in the parent-child curriculum that we're doing that I'm, you know, this past year I've presented on four international conferences on this program, is one of the things with the parent-child work on the farm is we talk about how horses as prey animals know how to nurture themselves, how as herd animals, they nurture each other. And in part of the clinical work, you know, like the first two sessions of the 6-session curriculum is having parents and children figure out the ways animals who are always in the present moment, right? They're not thinking about, oh, I have a test tomorrow. They're not thinking about, you know, oh, I have to go to my work today. They're really in the present moment. And the notion that animals can teach us how to delight in each other, like, and to get nurturance from each other in a way, when you observe animals doing it, you know, it allows opportunities for children, families, you know, adolescents, whatever, to practice it in the moment. Like you said, by feeding, by grooming, by taking for a walk, that they can do that, you know, for an animal.
Yes. Well, and also it's not just the clients and the people you serve who have had the trauma or veterans or kids or other adults too that have experienced something, but volunteers are attracted to your organization. So let's talk about the volunteers and what they do. And they derive a lot of benefit and pleasure by volunteering with Soul Friends.
Yes. Right now we have a few volunteers who have therapy animals. And again, it's not just therapy dogs. You can have a therapy guinea pig, a rabbit, a horse, a goat. And those are, you know, those, we do have some active volunteers who come with their therapy dogs, like into the office. We're actually running a group with Wallingford Youth Services over the summer with therapy dogs and a therapy rabbit to come. So we have volunteers there. And like one of our volunteers, Mary Ellen, she volunteers with her rabbits, but she's also on our board of directors. And our board of directors as volunteers really contribute to the mission, you know, strategic planning. And I think I haven't said this, but I've run the nonprofit for 20 years with a chronic neurological disability, and it impacts at times, you know, the ebb and flow of running a nonprofit normally. But when you have a disability, the volunteer base and having a strong board is really, really critical to move our mission forward. And right now it's really important because we are actually getting a lot of international attention about our curriculums. And I really, you know, being older, a little older, and with the disability, I really want the mission to be about the mission of the healing benefits of the human-animal bond and not like about a person as the founder. So I'm really looking for people who might want to volunteer, you know, with specialty areas, you know, in marketing, attorneys, you know, people who love strategic planning, fundraising, to kind of bring us to the next level.
So we're looking for volunteers, and we're certainly looking in this conversation for other organizations, perhaps, to engage and support Soul Friends. As you get the mission out there and you start talking to people, Kate, and they understand the relationship between people and animals, I'm sure that even if someone is not particularly an animal lover, not everybody is, they'll understand, though, how that really does have a positive impact for other people. So you don't really have to be a bunny lover or a pig lover or a goat lover or cats, dogs, whatever. You don't really have to know that to support Soul Friends, because some people really are nurtured by emotionally nurtured and healed by family in their families by the presence of these animals.
Very, very true. And I think we are at an exciting time and a crossroads to really ask for kind of community support and involvement to, you know, because it is, when I started 20 years ago, people weren't doing clinical animal assisted therapy. You know, they weren't doing that. Like initially when I started, I had a lot of like question marks. And then, you know, I responded to Sandy Hook, and Sandy Hook, you know, really impacted the way, and actually in Connecticut, I helped write legislation that, you know, we created therapy dog visitation for children under the care of DCF. So, you know, there is just a lot of recognition more of late, you know, and actually after COVID as well, that, you know, our mental health system kind of needs to change the way we do work. You know, there's importance of doing evidence-based work. And what we're doing at Soul Friends is actually incorporating some best practices into our clinical work, you know, to, again, take it to the next level to do outcome measures. You know, I'm doing research and to demonstrate the impact, and not just, you know, by Emmett being by me today, helping me in our interview. You know, it's just that there's a lot that could be done to show that it works.
Well, there's an opportunity here for you to volunteer to learn a little bit more about Soul Friends, and also to think about children and others who have experienced trauma. This organization, since about 20 years ago, Kate got going, is still strong here as well. So, Kate, how would people get involved? How would you like them to respond? I know you have your website for Soul Friends, but to learn more about the organization.
Yes, so they can certainly go to the website. There is a part at the bottom to send an email. You know, there's also a donation page. We are a nonprofit. Particularly when we do work on the farm, we are not even breaking even. So, because incorporating horses and other animals is expensive. So there's, you know, a donation page. There's a get to know you page. We also have a Facebook page. They can also contact us by phone at 203-679-0849. But the best way is probably like an email through the website or through messaging on the Facebook page.
Okay. Soul-friends.org. Soul-friends.org. Soul Friends. Kate Nickel, Executive Director of Soul Friends, thank you so much for being on the Quinnipiac Chamber of Commerce podcast. We learned a lot about a wonderful organization. Thank you.
Thank you, Ray.
If you, as a member, would like to be a guest on the Quinnipiac Chamber of Commerce podcast, please contact Executive Director Ray Andrewson at 203-269-9891. Email randrewson@quinchan.com. That's randrewson@quinnchan.com.